a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Senate State Affairs will come to order. Secretary will call a roll.
Senators Adelstein.
Present.
Cutler.
Here.
Burricks.
Here.
Gray.
Aye.
Johnston.
Here.
Rave.
Here.
Thiessen.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Rosen.
Here. Quorum is present. You have seen the minutes. Are there comments, corrections, actions on the minutes?
So moved.
Moved to approve by Rave. Second by Senator Thiessen. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. Before we get started, just a couple reminders. If you wish to testify today, we'd ask that you sign the podium by the front door. Also, you may want to check your cell phones. And I'm leading by example. Also, before we get started, we have with us today, helping us is Paige, Dacey Bryan, and Luke Krantz. Why don't you stand up and tell us where you're from and if you got intentions for college? You can just stand there. Yep.
I'm Dacey Bryan. I'm from Murdo, and I'm going to go to Southeast Tech for pharmacy.
Luke Krantz. I'm from Timberlake. I plan on joining the National Guard and attending SCSU for the spring semester.
Job. Thanks for your help today.
Can we introduce him to the gentleman sitting behind him?
Yes. I always tell the page of the intern, this is a great place to make contacts. Just a couple other announcements. On the calendar today, I am going to take Senate Bill 71 and move it to the top of today's calendar. Also, I have a bill request on behalf of the governor, a request to for this committee to hear a bill, and the title of which, an act to revise the terms and expiration dates of appointees to certain boards and commission. I need a motion and action from this committee to accept this bill. Motion by Rave, seconded by Senator Johnson. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. That bill will be introduced, and I will carry that to the front desk. Any other announcements before we get started? Seeing none, we will take up then Senate Bill 71, an act to modify the requirements relating to the publication of the administrative rules. Senate Bill 71 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Senator Gene Hunoff, District 18. Thank you for your flexibility, Mr. Chair, for allowing to bring this bill up first. What this is a revision or looking at some of the statutes that are in place regarding interim rules committee. I currently chair that committee, and there's been some cleanup legislation that we would like to bring forth and would ask you to consider. I'm going to ask Doug Decker, who is a cold counsel, to come forward as he staffs this committee, and it was identified as he was asked to do something for the rules and provide some information that he identified that we have some things that are no longer in practice. So with that, I will ask Mr. Decker to come forward and address what changes we're recommending. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good morning, Chairman Roden and members of the committee. My name is Doug Decker. I'm code counsel for the city of South Dakota. I also staff the interim rules review committee. This bill comes to you from them, and it arose when I received a question regarding certification of a rule. And I looked at the statute on who certifies a rule, and it is the Secretary of State. Well, and after in reading that statute, it also made a reference to the second section of this bill that you see is 126A2, and in looking at that section, I became aware that it really didn't make a whole lot of sense, that particular section. And then I looked at the other sections within that chapter, and I discovered the need for some cleanup. That's why you have this bill. Section 1 is the ever-popular cleanup. It makes some language changes, breaks up a sentence into a smaller part, makes it more readable. Section 2 is the one I was referencing. It's a two-paragraph section. If you read the first paragraph that's overstruck and look at the second paragraph where I'm making some underscore or amendment changes, the two paragraphs didn't make any sense. The first paragraph, I think, could be repealed. The second paragraph is cleanup, and it identifies that the Legislative Research Council publishes the rules and say it identifies what is the rules, and it excludes the analysis and notes of the LRC as not being part of the official rules of the administrative rules. Section 3 is a substantive change. It talks about how much time a person has to challenge the procedure about which an agency uses to adopt a rule. It puts a one-year limit in there. Now, this is parallel to the one-year limit that you have to challenge statutes that you see in Senate Bill 12, which was previously passed by this body. So it makes a substantive change. It says that you may challenge the procedure, and you have 1 year in which to do it. But if there is a substantive problem with that rule, such as it's unconstitutional or it lacks legislative authority, it is unlimited that you can challenge that rule. It's unlimited time frame in which to challenge that rule. Section 4 deals with the certification. It cleans up the language and clearly identifies that it's the Secretary of State's office that certifies a rule. Section 5 is a direction on how you legally cite an administrative rule. Section 6 identifies other cleanup language. You see the reference in here to 1974. Back in the day, there was no Administrative Procedures Act, and the rules were the 1974 version. And this is a leftover from that time. And with the adoption of the Administrative Procedures Act, there's no longer any need to refer to 1974. And then you see sections 7 through 21, which are a series of repeals. Well, back in the 80s, the executive board would authorize the Rules Review Committee to do a sunset review of an agency's rules. And at the end of that sunset, either the agency rules would go away or the rules would be reauthorized. These sections that you see are a series of reauthorizations. Now, with the standing interim Rules Review Committee and the regular review of rules on monthly basis during the interim, these statutes are obsolete. They have been executed. They are no longer necessary, and that's why that's why you see the repeal. And with that, I would conclude my remarks and answer any questions.
Thank you. Any other proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jeff Bloomberg from the Bureau of Personnel. As one of the agencies that does promulgate rules and works with these rules, we think this is a very good cleanup bill, and in particular, Section 3, we think is a good substantive change, and we support the bill.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, we will move to opponents. Any opponents to Senate Bill 71? Seeing no opponent testimony, we will waive rebuttal and move to questions from the committee.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Mr. Decker, please. I guess my question, I'm just curious, if we remove that Section 7 through 21, as far as the sunset for agency rules, if I'm not mistaken, you mentioned that the Rules Committee, and then also that we always study an agency, usually one or two, at least one for each summer. Are those We know the Rules Committee is in place, but what is it just kind of a understood rule from the legislature, or understood procedure from the legislative side that each agency will be reviewed yearly? I'm just curious to know what other sort of backup would replace this repeal.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think it is the prerogative of the Executive Board to identify agencies that would be reviewed. If there is a need for a sunset, then that would be an appropriate study for the Executive Board to authorize that type of review. And as you've pointed out, there have been one or two agencies that have been reviewed annually by the study of these agencies has been authorized annually by the Executive Board. And that's the proper way to conduct that type of review. So it's on an as-needed basis with the discretion of the Executive Board.
Further questions? Any other questions? Thank you. Seeing none, we will move to discussion and or action on Senate Bill 71. Senator Rave.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to pass.
Motion by Senator Rave. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Gray. Comments on the motion?
I don't think so.
Any comments? Seeing none, the motion then is due pass. Senate Bill 71. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Adelstein.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Cheesen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 71 goes to the floor. Do pass. Any other action? Seeing none, we will now take up Senate Bill 59, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the public record open to inspection and copying. Senate Bill 59 is now open for public hearing. Proponent testimony.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I think this is probably the first time I've been on this side of the equation. It feels a little different, but obviously I know I'm in good company, so it's good to be here. But I just bring forth Senate Bill 59, which comes from the good representative from down in Sioux Falls who brought this and asked me to help out, and I'm glad to do that. I just ask that you please turn to basically the last page of the bill, which should be page 5, and you can see that on line 19, which should be in that basically subsection 27 category, is where the deletion of the or, and which obviously is an effort to make sure that it's not an either or, that it is part of the equation in terms of open records. And I will defer the rest of the explanation not only to Representative Feinstein, but of course I know the folks from the Newspaper Association have some input as well. And so we know that open records has continually been a focus over the years, and there's been much progress made, but obviously this is just another attempt to try to not only close some certain loopholes, but to keep the public's interest in mind. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Mark Feinstein, State Representative from District 14. I apologize for the fact that this is a 5 or 6 page bill, and all we're doing is striking two letters in that last provision. That's just the nature of the beast. You know, when we have a bill that's one long section, this is what we have to do. I had the honor of being on the House State Affairs Committee when this bill came to us. What was it, 4 years ago? And the bill passed the Senate, went through committee, passed the Senate, had great discussion over there, came over to us, and in State Affairs Committee, there were, and I would say, four or five amendments just put on right at the end at the last minute, totally unaware to most people on the committee coming into that. One of those provisions was this last one. And when you look at it, the way it is written, and again, I do not believe it was the intent of the promoters of the amendment, that bill or that particular clause neuters, makes the whole law basically ineffective. What it says is any state law or rule can be made that says that a record is closed, or as may be required for federal benefit or federal program participation. If you take out the word or, I believe that was the full intent of what, or at least what they purported to us in the State Affairs Committee, that that was the intent, was to participate in the federal programs. If you take out the word or, that is what it then says, that they can make a state law regulation or federal law regulation as necessary to participate in federal programs. And that's appropriate. Federal government says, if South Dakota wants to participate in, let's say, Medicaid, you have to make, this can't be a public information. This has to be private and secured information. That's fair. And I don't think there's anybody that has objections. But when you have the word or in there, it opens it up to any department and any regulation and any statute. And all this is, I don't want to pick on any department, but let's just say the highway department says, I don't want any public record of where our speed zones change. So we're going to make a rule that that isn't going to be public anymore. Well, is that necessary? I mean, it just subverts the whole nature of the law. And that's why I'm asking you to vote yes to remove the word or in that last section 27. And I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. David Bordewijk, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Newspaper Association. I think Representative Feinstein has explained the position on the bill. I think what we're trying to do is clarify here. I think there are two exceptions rolled into one right now, and we're trying to get it to where it's a single exception. I think it's the right step there. I think you'll hear perhaps others argue that taking the word or out of there will then cause problems for other records that are made confidential in other parts of the code that we have today, and I understand some of that, and that you know, maybe a debate we need to have here, and maybe we just need to get rid of that exception in entirety. The other thing I would offer to you is the governor has said in recent days that he would appoint a task force this year to look at some open government issues, including this statute. This very lengthy statute, was some of you were here in 2009 when this bill was written, and now we've gone through a few years of it in play out in the field, and not only this exception but other exceptions within the law have come into question in terms of, you know, what does it really mean, and is the language exactly the way it needs to be in terms of what we want? So I think a task force that's coming, I'm excited about that. I think I applaud the governor for doing that, needs to look at many of these issues, and perhaps, you know, if we can't get this figured out today, maybe that's where it needs to go. But I think it's an important issue that we do need to look at. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing none, we will move to opponents. Senate Bill 59.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jeff Bloomberg from the Bureau of Personnel. First of all, I'd like to talk a little bit about the historic background on this bill that was alluded to by Representative Feinstein. And I know, Mr. Chairman, you were over in the House when the first version of this legislation regarding open records came up. There was vigorous debate. It was defeated in committee. Then went the following year, Senator Knutson brought his language, which was ultimately passed and signed into law by Governor Rounds. I would argue that the inclusion of subsection 27 was not an accident. It wasn't slipped in there at the last moment. It was deliberately put in there. And if you would look at the open records laws in most states, will have similar language to what's in subsection 27. And all it does is recognize the fact that when we passed the open records law, there were already dozens and dozens of statutes on the book which made certain private information confidential. And to demonstrate that, what I did is do a word search in our code for the word confidential. And what you have in front of you is 8 pages of statutes that use the word confidential. And all this subsection, as it's currently written, says, instead of taking all of those different subsections in our code through on those 8 pages and putting them in as exceptions to the open records rule, we're simply saying that if a legislature has in the past or in the future adopts a statute which makes certain information confidential, that it's recognized in our open records laws as being confidential also. So I'm fearful that if we remove the or, and it greatly changes the reading of subsection 27, you're going to have a conflict of laws, because you're going to have this section that says, okay, now we're not including current confidential state statutes and rules are not included in our open records exceptions, but they're over in another part of the code. You're creating a conflict in laws there. And how do the courts interpret those? Well, they look at the most recent legislation. And I think it's just begging the issue of a conflict there. And in particular, relating to rules, because where you have a statute and a rule, the statute's going to win out. And I gave you a copy of, I did the same word search regarding our rules, and I didn't go into every one of those different statutes, but I, on the first page of that handout, on this, I guess the second page, I looked at some of the examples, and, you know, the first rule on that list is children's special health services. Well, if you read that rule, it looks to me like there's a reason why that stuff would be confidential. Or services to adoptive families. It's confidential under rule. You know, we have an interim rules committee, and you just heard a bill regarding that. Ultimately, the legislature, through certainly in regard to statutes, but in regard to rules, has ultimate authority to not adopt a rule. So it's not like the Bureau of Personnel or any other agency can willy-nilly make stuff confidential. We have to, if we adopt such a rule, we have to come before the interim rules committee, and ultimately they can thumbs up or thumbs down on our rules. So I think this is a big change. That's not to say that in all of those 8 pages of statutes which are currently on the books, that there aren't areas that need to be looked at. And I think Mr. Bordewick makes a good point that this is an area that perhaps we should be studying, and the governor has indicated that that's so. And that's something that should be done, though, in a specific manner, looking at every one of those statutes and every one of those rules, and to say, really, should that stuff be open or closed? And do it in a thoughtful manner, as opposed to this bill, which I think really creates some problems and is a kind of a wholesale approach to it. So with that, we would oppose the bill.
Thank you. Further opponents?
Thank you, Chairman Roden, members of the committee. My name is Jim Hood. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Municipal League, which was an active participant in the process when we made the change brought by Senator Knutson to the open records. And, of course, the change, basically the philosophy was everything's open unless it is specifically closed. And our recollection is that this was not an unintended consequence, but was this amendment was put in there intentionally and for a valid purpose. And I would echo the comments of Mr. Bloomberg, and we are opposed to Senate Bill 59. I don't know. My reading would lead me to believe that if someone applied for an SBA loan or as a participant in a farm program, Many times when you apply for those loans or those grants, you are required to submit income tax returns, all kinds of other information that you would not want in the public domain as a participant or an applicant for those loans. And so I guess for those reasons, we are opposed to the bill. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Just a brief question before we move on. Do you or Jeff recall what the bill number was on that original legislation, Knutson Riz? Senate Bill 101, 2009. I don't want to come. Further opponents. Are there any other opponents? Seeing none, would you like a brief rebuttal? To sponsor the bill, and I will defer to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mark Feinstein, District 14, State Representative. There just seems to be a little difference as to what actually happened at the State Affairs meeting when this last these last provisions came forth. Again, they were not presented in the Senate. On the Senate side, they came in the last minute. In the House State Affairs meeting, it's a matter of, you know, was it intended or not? Well, they said it was intended, and I didn't think it was, and we tried to keep it out at that time. But that's what the debate's all about. We are second as equal branch of government to the executives, and we can make our own decisions here, too. I also would contend, and the last speaker talked about tax returns, and I believe tax returns and information like that are already secured and protected under the law and the other provisions. So I think that's sort of a red herring here. Social Security numbers are already secured and private and aren't going to be divulged. And I really think that that is just one way to open up anything that anybody wants to. And again, we have to have power as our second branch of government to say, hey, executive branch, that maybe is not the right thing to open up with a law or a rule. And so I guess I urge you to vote for this. I think it will close a huge loophole in the law and get us to the open records that we really passed. I guess it was 09. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we will open to questions from the committee. Senator Adelstein.
Question for Mr. Feinstein, please. Since this law has been on the books for 3 years, apparently, is that correct?
I believe so. It's 09, so what, July 1st of 09 it came into effect. Yeah.
Do you have any example of a rule that established confidentiality which would have created a problem?
Mr. Chair, actually, no, I do not, but I don't want it to happen in the future, and I think let's be proactive rather than reactive. Too many times this body is reactive, and I just like to be ahead of the curve and make sure that doesn't happen.
Mr. Feinstein, do you think, is that a logical assumption?
I believe it is logical that it wouldn't, can happen. If that wasn't a concern, they wouldn't be here opposing the bill.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Adelstein, please.
One further question, please.
Follow up, Senator
Adelstein. If a rule is imposed, how can it not be disclosed?
Well, Mr. Chair, the rule would be disclosed, but the rule could say we're going to close down that piece of information and we won't allow that on our open network. I mean, they could promulgate the rules. I believe there was discussion about the interim rules committee, but a lot of times they can just say, hey, this isn't the intent, send it back. But most of the time the rules end up going through.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further questions? Senator Gray. And just a brief reminder to the committee as we move forward and those testifying that I would request that all questions and responses be directed through the chair. Senator Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Feinstein, good morning. I'm just going to read this as amended. You know, help me understand it, hopefully. Any other record made closed or confidential by state or federal statute or rule as necessary to participate in federal programs and benefits. So how do you reconcile, how do you interpret a state statute that has nothing to do with federal programs or benefits?
Mr. Chair, as it reads now, we can pass a law that just says we're going to shut down the legislature from being open to the public on the Internet. It has nothing to do with federal or state law or with federal benefit programs. And if that passes, we would be off the air. That's the kind of thing. Well, I mean, that's an extreme example, but it can happen, and that's what I don't want to have happen and have us come back here and say, oh, let's close that other loophole. I think let's close the loophole now.
Mr. Chairman, wouldn't we have two conflicting laws then at that point, an open records law and then a law or statute we just passed closing down the legislature?
That was, Mr. Chair, yeah, that was just an extreme example that shut down, not the legislature, but shut down the Internet coverage or whatever.
Understood.
Yeah, and again, it has no bearing on federal participation. With this amendment, by striking the word or, that shutting down the Internet for the legislature would not be allowed under this provision because it has nothing to do with the federal participation. Only if it connects to federal programs like Medicaid, that if federal government says you can't divulge that information if you want to stay on the Medicaid program, hey, that's okay.
Thank you.
Further questions? I would ask one question. Have you seen the handout with the list of statutes?
No, I haven't.
Are currently,
I haven't been presented with that.
Well, understand that I chaired the House State Affairs Committee where the amendments were added, so I have a pretty clear idea of what the intent was. When we introduce legislation, we always run the risk of unintended consequences. In this case, those consequences could be dramatic. And my question is, have you considered the implications of striking this word and, I believe, making all of these records subject to open meetings or open records laws?
Mr. Chair, that's a good question. But when this law in 2009 passed the Senate committee and passed the Senate floor and came to us, it didn't, and before it came to us, as it came to us, didn't have those provisions, that provision in any way. In other words, it was thought of at the last minute, or it was, I don't know why it just showed up in the second chamber in the House State Affairs Committee. And I mean, that is what happened and how it happened, and that's the history of the bill. So why wasn't that thought of earlier? To me, it must not have been a problem.
Thank you. Then I would direct my next question to Mr. Bloomberg. Mr. Bloomberg, I'm looking for some clarification because my memory does not coincide with what was just stated as far as the action we took in the House. Could you provide some clarity as far as how that process went?
I don't remember that particular point. I know that language was in the bill the prior year that Senator or Representative Turback put in that was defeated. And I know that the governor's office, Mr. Fulton in particular, were working with Senator Knutson throughout the whole legislative process on various changes to the bill. And the only thing I do know is that that language was intended to put in there to simply bootstrap in all of the other statutes which were already on the books. And that again, I'll, you know, I've looked at almost every state in the union, and that language is very common to recognize the fact that there are other exceptions in the law well before the open records bill, and some will be added in the future. And if it's the prerogative of the legislature to adopt more laws in other areas to close it up, that's a standard practice in almost every state.
Thank you. Further questions, Senator Frakes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for Representative Feinstein. I guess, Representative Feinstein, we heard from Mr. Bloomberg reference the Senator Turback legislation, which, and again, I was not involved. I was in, probably in college during those days, but not that that gives me any reason not to follow it either. But it seemed like to me that she brought legislation the first year, and that kind of reminded me of the difference. Did you happen to look at what Senator Turback had for legislation compared to what Senator Knudsen introduced and passed in the Senate, make any comparisons? And then did this happen to just show up then last minute as extra in terms of Senator Turback's legislation?
Mr. Chair, thank you. It's a very, very good question. Yeah, what I refer to is I did not follow the bill when Nancy Turback Berry was running it, because I don't even know if it came to my chamber of the House. What I'm referring to is when I was on State Affairs in 2009, when it came to the House State Affairs Committee, and which is the bill that ultimately passed. And I believe, Mr. Chair, all due respect, you were already in the Senate that year. You were not. When I was on the State Affairs Committee in 2009, you were not there. So you might be right that in the Turback bill, it may have been in there, but it was not in there when it came over from the Senate to the House when it ultimately passed. So that's probably why we have differing memories of that.
Thank you. And I was just counting back, and you're correct. The year I was referring to was the first year with the Turback-Berry bill. I would have been in the Senate in 2009. Further questions? Senator Cutler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For Mr. Bordwick. Morning.
Good morning.
Since you testified in favor of the bill, I'm wondering if, I guess the same question to you that Senator Adelstein had for Representative Feinstein, are you coming with an example of how this provision has somehow been a block to what should otherwise be an open record?
Mr. Chairman, for me, Senator Cutler, I do not have an example and evidence to bring to you today. I mean, it's something we've looked at and we've discussed among our folks and so forth, but I don't have a specific example out there to point to.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I was in error. You was talking about past sessions. I can't remember where I parked my car this morning, let alone 2009. But anyway, it was Senate Bill 147, not Senate Bill 101. So sorry about that.
I found that out. Ms. Bordwick, as long as you're there, let me pose the same question to you as I did to Feinstein. Have you considered any of the consequences as far as records that this would potentially open or make subject to the opens records laws that legitimately and very compellingly so should remain confidential?
Mr. Chair, and I have, and as you're having that discussion with Representative Feinstein, you know, maybe the bill should have struck from or on and simply said any other record made closed or confidential by state or federal statute or rule, you know, and to clarify that everything else we have in the code, we're not touching that. I think we do touch that in statute 1-27-1, which says, except as otherwise expressly provided by statute, all citizens are empowered to view records. I mean, I think we do have language in 127-1 already covering other parts of the code. But if we need to clarify that here, then you know, let's do that. Delete everything after or, and then if we need an exception to deal with rules and statutes that involve federal programs, then let's consider that as a separate exception. But I think right now it's just creates some confusion, I believe.
Thank you. Further questions from the committee? Seeing no further questions, we move to discussion and or action. Senator Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I came into this, and as I read it, I was very open-minded, and I thought I was even jotting down possible amendments to try to fix what they wanted to do. But as I get into the discussion more and more, I become more troubled by this. You know, certainly in 2008, 2009, I mean, we went through numerous bills and finally adopted something. And I, for one, am certainly getting more comfortable with what we do have. I think it's been good. I think we have a governor who's becoming even more transparent and open. I'm troubled by this particular bill, though, because it just seems to me that as a legislative body that we ought to be able to pass a statute that makes something confidential if we deem it necessary. Now, we use the extreme example of internet access for the legislature. I don't anticipate that ever happening. But there may be some examples out there that we're not thinking about today that have nothing to do with federal programs or benefits that we may need to take action on sometime. And so that's what really troubles me. Frankly, the rules, I'm bothered by the idea of passing rules that can make something confidential, just as the prime sponsor is. A rules committee has 7 members. It takes 4 votes. Any lobbyist would tell you it's easier to get 4 votes out of a 7-person committee than a majority of 2 houses of the legislature plus the governor to pass something. So I do understand that, and that remains problematic for me, but I don't know how to fix that in this bill today. And so with that, I would offer a motion to defer this to the 41st day.
Motion is to defer Senate Bill 59 to the 41st day. Is there a second? Second by Senator Olson. Further comments on the motion to defer? Other comments? Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I certainly have enjoyed the discussion, I think, though, to this point, and I appreciate the members of the committee for taking this not only serious, because I think many of us take, you know, the job that we have here for the few days that we come out for session as a very serious matter. At the same time, you know, the example that is used, we want to make sure and have that communication with folks that need to know what's happening out here. And so I think that's pretty well understood. I just would like to remind, you know, folks as well, you know, in some of the testimony it was cited as far as the, you know, potential farm programs or SBA and things like that, you know, those have that federal type of connection. And I'm sure we have some state, you know, guarantee programs, a little bit of loan stuff in terms of beginning farmer things for farm, but in terms of a farm program, that is federal, and this Small Business Administration, to my knowledge, is federal as well, which fits into the purview of this. And so not to certainly discredit the folks that brought that, but I think that, you know, those examples are probably, you know, unfounded, that couldn't be done. Now, having said that, it's always nice we can use examples, and so it's good to put in perspective. But lastly, I think going back to this rural process, as well, and just kind of to close with, and I think there's that agreement, and not only from, you know, the previous speaker on, I agree with him that, I mean, we do have to have concern. Granted, we trust our rules committee to be, you know, looking out for our best interests, but at the same time, they can just kick that rule back, and then, of course, they would expect that, you know, they, as in the committee, would expect a new rule to come forth from that agency to either replace that. And so, you know, in terms of actually killing the rule, I guess, sure, it could be done for, but obviously it is meant to tweak things and obviously get the intent figured out of that rule. And so, you know, this is something that obviously just striking the word or could have bigger implications, but I also hope that, you know, that we can realize that there can be those exceptions that, again, unless it fits within the, you know, some sort of a federal a program or benefit, which have been used as examples, I think that's something we should consider. So I urge your a no vote on this to defeat the bill, but, again, thanks for the discussion.
Further comments? Senator Cutler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, my memory is probably in line with Mr. Bordowicz and not being able to remember where I parked my car, but I do think that I was probably the prime House sponsor of Senator Turbackberry's first legislation. And really the whole role of that legislation was to create a presumption in the law that records are open unless or until there are specific reasons or an argument is made as to why something should be closed. What this legislation would do is take those rules and statutes that have already had that process, or they've already been made confidential by consideration, and it would take them out of, it would make that information no longer protected. And so I think, I don't see this bill as being really complementary to Senator Turbak Barry's original legislation, because really the intent of that was to simply create the presumption in the law that records are open unless we specifically say they're closed. Here we're trying to take away the fact that these are specifically closed, and create confusion then with the statutes that say they are closed. So I think while there may be it may make more sense to take the participation in federal programs and benefits and separate that out just for the clarity of the reading of this exception, it doesn't make sense to take out the fact that those things which have already been made closed by statute, by state statute, federal statute, or by rule, should remain closed. And the problem with taking out the language on the federal statute or rule is that it's not covered as an exception at the beginning when you read the statute as to what the exceptions are, because that only states that those things covered by state statutes. So we do need this provision, and it's awkward to talk about because we do have these things kind of strung together. But I don't think that it's necessarily confusing and lacking any example by any of the proponents as to where it's causing a problem with regard to what should otherwise be an open record. I don't see that this legislation would do anything other than cause probably a lot of confusion about what is intentionally meant to be kept confidential. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further comments, Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm unable to concur with the implication that somehow the executive branch has somehow the license or the ability to implement their own rules or to act independently. We make all the statutes, we the legislature, and we do have oversight of all rulemaking. And so I think the legislature controls the process. I mean, we could repeal the entire chapter if we saw fit. We could turn off the internet if we saw fit. Obviously, there's implications to doing that, but I think all of that's within the purview of the legislature and remains in the purview of the legislature. Absent some good examples of how the current statute is going badly awry, and pending the review of these 8 pages of exceptions, which I think is appropriate to review, I'm satisfied with the statute as it exists, so I'll support the current motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? End of the comments. Well, I would close with just a couple comments, and Senator Teason touched on, said verbatim, a number of points that I was going to bring out. We obviously can have the power to repeal the statute in its entirety, but I was involved with this discussion pretty dramatically going back as the House Chair of State Affairs when Senator Turbak brought the original bill. And I recall some of the specific areas of concern and the flaws in her bill that caused its demise. And I recall a number of the conversations with Senator Knutson as it moved forward to the next year when he brought a similar bill forward that resolved some of those problem areas. But what I don't recall is any change that was a substantive change that was made. The bill as it stands today was exactly what the intent was. Instead of listing this whole litany of records or statutes that qualify to be confidential, subsection 27 was added to cover all of them. If they're listed as confidential, they remain confidential, understanding that there were legitimate reasons for doing so. I think it's pretty obvious and pretty plain to see that removing that one word from this statute basically negates all of that and does, as a consequent, render a number of these documents, or all of them, open, or at least open to interpretation. So I will support that, the deferral motion, and urge you to do the same. With that, any further comments? Seeing none, the motion then is defer Senate Bill 59 to the 41st legislative day. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Adelstein?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Frerichs?
No.
Gray?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Rafe?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 59 is deferred to the 41st legislative day. And just as a procedural comment to the committee before we move on, we didn't have an organizational meeting where we lay out rules or procedure or preferences from the chair. So I'll, just as a reminder to the committee right now, as we move forward through the year, it's my my wishes. I know there are a number of different styles of chairing a committee, but I would prefer that if when we come to action and we're making motions on bills, that the motion be stated, and I will accept a second, and then we'll allow comments. I just think it's a little cleaner way to run a committee. It gives the intention up front, so we're not trying to guess through comments where we're going with the comments. So as a matter of procedure, I would like, if we're going to make a motion, state your motion up front. I'll get a second, and then I will, as a matter of course, go back to the person who made the motion for initial comments. With that, we will take up House Bill 1016, an act to repeal certain rules relating to the use of centennial logos. House Bill 1016 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jeff Holden. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Bureau of Administration. House Bill 1016 is brought to you as part of the Governor's Red Tape Review to eliminate obsolete rules and regulations. The rules included in the bill were established back in the 80s to establish fees and royalties for commercial use of the centennial logo that was in 1989. The logo was the State Centennial Commission's trademark, and the Centennial Commission was in existence from 1985 to 1990. After the Centennial Commission went away, the rules were transferred over to the Bureau of Administration, and I imagine that was done just in case there was some continued use of the logo, so there would be some administration of that. Last year, Senate Bill 2 repealed statutes that authorized BOA to deal with the Centennial logo as part of our sunset review. Since the statutes have been repealed, there's no longer any need for these rules, and I'd urge your approval of House Bill 1016, and I'll answer any questions.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1016? Seeing no opponents, questions from the committee? Seeing no questions, we will move to discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Teason.
I move do pass.
Second. Motion by Senator Teason, do pass. Seconded by Senator Raves. Comments on the motions?
I have none.
Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion then is do pass. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Adelstein.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Gray. Johnston?
Aye.
Rafe?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1016 goes to the floor. Do pass. Further action?
Mr. Chair, I move consent.
Motion consent by Rafe, second by Olson. Comments on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. House Bill 1016 goes to the floor. Do pass on consent. We will take up now House Bill 1024, an act to repeal authorization to sell certain surplus real estate under the control of the Department of Corrections in Aurora County and Minnehaha County. House Bill 1024 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Scott Bollinger, Department of Corrections. You have before you House Bill 1024. What it does is it revises the authorization that you granted the governor last session in House Bill 1231 to sell land extraneous to various facilities around the state. Upon reviewing those facilities and the lands around them, there were two parcels that had issues that came up, and so as a result, the governor would like to remove the authorization for those parcels. One of them is included across from the penitentiary, across the viaduct. There's approximately 30 acres. As you know, the penitentiary where it's located is landlocked. In the event down the road, if the population increase and warrants an addition at the penitentiary, that's the only available land that the Department of Corrections would have available to it. There are no current plans. Our capacities are in good shape for a number of years forward. The other parcel is located adjacent to the state training school in Plankington. We have a parcel there that has an open pit dump site on it, as well as a former sewage lagoon. The city of Plankington a number of years ago put in a new sewage lagoon. We abandoned ours and hooked into their system. And as a result of our agreements with the city of Plankington, ours is an emergency backup for the city of Plankington for that sewage lagoon. With that, Mr. Chairman, that's the nutshell of the bill and would stand by for questions.
Thank you. We'll go through the cadence. Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Seeing none, questions from the committee? No questions? Then we will go to discussion or action. Senator Rave.
I would move to pass.
Motion due pass by Rave, seconded by Senator Teason. Comments on the motion?
No, thank you.
Any comments? Seeing none, the motion then is due pass. House Bill 1024. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Adelstein.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Gray. Johnston.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Broden.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1024 goes to the floor. Do pass.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Teason.
Move consent.
Second.
Motion consent by Teason, second by Senator Johnson. Comments on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. House Bill 1024 goes to the floor. Do pass on consent. We move now to House Bill 1048, an act to expand the Board of Military Affairs. House Bill 1048, now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Tim Reich. I'm the Cabinet Secretary for the Department of the Military and the Adjutant General for the South Dakota National Guard. House Bill 1048 is a relatively simple bill. I think you have probably seen some news releases lately where we talked about the armories that are located across the state of South Dakota. The Board of Military Affairs is composed of five members appointed by the governor, and their real statutory authority has to do with construction, enlargement, conversion, and equipment of armories throughout the state of South Dakota. It's very much a part-time board, currently has five members. Going forward, as an example, on 30 September of this year, the South Dakota Army National Guard is going to lose 258 traditional slots. We're also losing 19 full-time slots, positions within our force structure. I think that's probably the tip of the iceberg. Based on that particular event and further upon the reduced federal funding for maintenance of armories, further upon the fact that we've got 10 of our armories that are more than 50 years old and 14 of them that are more than 40 years old. We are at really a decision point within the National Guard. And there's a comprehensive study that's going on among the Army Guard right now to determine what are the best locations for the existence of the Army National Guard. And they're going to come forward with some recommendations to me, and then I'll either concur or alter those and make recommendations to the governor and the Board of Military Affairs. And what House Bill 1048 will do is add two more members to the Board of Military Affairs, and will enhance the amount of citizen input that we are able to use for making these kinds of critical decisions going forward. So it's a relatively simple bill. The annual cost of expanding this board by two members is estimated to be $1,352. And so we're not asking for any more money. We can find that money in our department budget, so I would respectfully request the support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, General. Further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will open to questions from the committee. Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, General Reich. Thank you, Mr. Chair. General Reich, could you give us a sense of the current geographic composition of the Board of Military Affairs?
Mr. Chairman? Yes, Senator, thank you for that question. Right now we've got five members. Mr. Al Cornell is from Rapid City. Dick Trankel is from Rapid City. General Ron Milkey is from Sioux Falls. General Ernie Edward from Watertown. And Colonel Retired Larry Weiss is from Pierre.
General Reich, so if I understand you right, your vision is to get more geographic dispersion of these two members, or what are you thinking right now?
Mr. Chairman? Yes, Senator. We think that there's an area in north central, northwest, South Dakota that really doesn't have geographic representation. There's another one kind of south central, South Dakota, and southwest that lacks representation. We do have a number of armories in south central South Dakota that are fairly old. Not much for armories up north anymore. We've got an armory in Mobridge, but we're out of Lemon now. So, yes, the idea is to really kind of get more citizen input, and we wouldn't recommend placing restrictions that would tie the governor to that, but that's kind of my intent.
Any other questions? Thank you, General. Seeing no further questions, we will move to discussion and or action. Senator Rafe.
I would move due pass.
Motion due pass by Senator Rafe, second by Senator Johnson. Comments on the motion?
Mr. Chair, briefly.
Senator Rafe.
Thank you. I just appreciate the Adjutant General bringing this, and you know, I know I've talked to Steve about this, and I really appreciate the opportunity to have some more representation on this board, and I think geographically that will help ease the pain as we move forward. And as Steve and I discussed, there are probably some tough decisions that are going to have to be made coming up in the future, and I think this is a good step forward to help facilitate that process. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adelstein.
In the dim, dark days of the past, Mr. Chairman, I believe before the turn of the century even, I think I served on that board, and I think it's an excellent opportunity to get more people involved in telling the story, so I support the DuPass motion.
Thank you. I think that was a nominating speech for somebody to carry this on the floor. Further comments on the motion? Seeing none, the motion then is due pass, House Bill 1048. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Adelstein.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Rafe.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1048 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. That will bring us to the end of today's calendar. Any announcements? Senator Rafe.
Senator Teason and I have been cooking up something down here. We're going to give it a shot. Would it be appropriate, Mr. Chair, if we could go back and move Senate Bill 71 to consent? Would you be willing to take that motion?
I would if there are no objections from the committee.
I object to that. It feels good to explain it. They only talk to themselves. I guess they didn't talk to me. So.
Well,
never mind.
Talk to him next day.
Yeah. We have a one-man veto on consent, so let's save us the energy. I thought Senator Rave was going to announce that they developed some rap song that they wanted to do or something. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, did you put 1048 on consent?
We could, Senator Adelstein, but I think that it merits an explanation on the floor. So, any other announcements for the committee before we take a motion to adjourn? Seeing none, motion to adjourn by Olson, second by Johnson. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting is adjourned.